Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of pithy sayings here to share with you. One is from C.S. Lewis. A person cannot remain a good egg forever. One must either hatch or rot. I like that one. Now, the other one is kind of more of a bumper sticker that you've probably seen. God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. These sayings together kind of help us to see that growth and maturity in the Christian life is something that is unavoidable. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about that. He speaks of maturity and growth for his followers by first being connected to him and, important word here, remaining connected to him. Jesus uses the image of the vine and the branch and how it is that the branches produce fruit. That image reminds us of something we instinctively know, that only as branches mature, after being grafted into the vine and remaining in the vine, will they then inevitably produce fruit. In verses 2 through 3, Jesus says, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Do you notice that in both of these things, that cutting is involved? One form of cutting leads to growth, while the other leads to a permanent separation. Also, notice that it's the gardener is the one who does the cutting, no one else. He does it as he sees what is best for the garden and for the health of the vines. The point is that the fruit, which is the good works we Christians do, that fruit doesn't make a Christian better, doesn't make a Christian cleaner, in Jesus' words. Christians are already clean. That is, they are justified and pure because of the word of the gospel. Being grafted into the vine, being grafted into Jesus, makes us clean. And we are clean because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good works. Our fruit isn't optional, but neither is our fruit the cause of our salvation. Good works will surely follow from true faith, as surely as fruit grows from a vine that has mature branches that have been pruned for growth by the gardener. When we're baptized, we're grafted into Christ. And through confirmation and private confession and absolution, private devotions, your Bible study here at church, your own Bible reading at home, in all of those ways, we mature in Christ. In this way, we, again, using that important word from today, in this way, we remain in him. Remain is a key word in this gospel reading today. Some form of this word in the Greek occurs 10 times in today's reading. 9 times in the forms of the word that Jesus uses. It applies to his disciples and his call for them to remain in Jesus and abide in his word. Or commands. The very single last use of the word from the reading today is used to describe how Jesus lives, how he is one who remains in the love of the Father. Now, the use of that word in the Greek, that's a 9-to-1 ratio. Now, this ratio points out two things for us. First and most obvious is that Jesus strongly desires to have this abidingly close connection with his followers. That's one. But perhaps as equally important is the one time that Jesus applies it to himself. He does so as an example to the disciples of what he has meant those other 9 times. That it's in his Father's love that he himself does remain. This one use, this one-time use, emphasizes that as Jesus remains and abides in the love of the Father, so also are all of Jesus' followers to remain and abide in his love. Now, this word also carries a sense of long duration. Duration that never ends, in fact. You can see where the one was grafted to the other in the picture there. And now it's been there for a long time. That grafting is what we're called to. When we live and abide in the love of Christ, our state of existence has forever been and remains changed from before. We're now living the duration of our life where? In his love. There's a never-ending quality that comes with that idea of remaining. And that sense of never-ending comes from the source of that love. That source is God, our Heavenly Father. Remaining and abiding in the love of the Father happens only because he calls us to that, and he gives us that as his gift. Look back at the first reading from today. There the eunuch is called and given a place in the kingdom of God. The eunuch, though a believer in Yahweh, would have been unqualified to enter the dwelling place of God on earth, the temple, because of his status as a eunuch. The Jewish ceremonial laws would have forbidden that. However, God didn't count that against him, as demonstrated by having Philip present to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though the eunuch was separated by his physical condition from the earthly house of worship for Jews, God didn't consider him removed from his grace. God sent Philip to him with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the eunuch, through the gift of faith in Jesus, was grafted into the vine. The gospel is what binds us to the vine, to Christ. But if we're separated or cut off from that vine, then we're without hope. I want you to read with me, please, this 6th verse from today's gospel lesson. Let's read that together. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That is a truly lost and hopeless state, to be useless to God. That's what it means to be withered and dried up and then gathered up and thrown into the fire. That indeed is to be left in despair. And that is where we were before the coming of the gospel. But God has called and invites all people to be grafted into Jesus, the vine, and through that same gospel to remain in him, just as he did with the eunuch today. Then if you find yourself, unfortunately, without hope, it's because you've chosen to cut yourself off, to cut yourself off from the grace of God. Now, this eunuch received the mercy of God by having the word of God open to him and his receiving that word. And Philip did a good job of explaining doctrine to him. Now, we know that. Oh, go back one, Gordon. Yeah. Yeah, we know that Philip did a good job of explaining doctrine to him because of the question that the eunuch asks in light of what he learned from the Old Testament and what he learned of Philip talking to him about Jesus Christ. His question was this: here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? This man understood from the clarity of what Philip said that God's gift of new life can be received by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, this eunuch right now, today, is in heaven with God by the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we get there, we can ask him about what it was like to have Philip simply appear on the road and share with him the gospel message out of the Old Testament book of Isaiah and then just simply disappear. We also, like this eunuch, and by the same message of grace, we too have been grafted into Christ. As we remain in Jesus and mature in the vine, we naturally produce fruit for God. We're not grafted into the vine simply to feed off of it and never grow or produce fruit. Remember what C.S. Lewis's quote was about the egg: you either rot or you hatch. We also either grow or are cut off from the vine. Remember the words from St. John's epistle today, his epistle, verses 9 through 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We are called to continual maturity in the love of Christ. And so we produce fruit, reflecting the life that we've been given by Jesus and his death on the cross and resurrection. Our fruit has his goodness in it. Our fruit has his goodness in it. Now, we've given our pledge through confirmation and through the many times that we've renewed our baptismal vows. We have given our promises to remain in the vine and so to live fruitful lives of holiness before the eyes of God. By faith, we remain. By the gift of faith, we are attached and grafted into Jesus Christ. And that alone is what gives us the power to mature and to produce fruit. Remember the other saying from our opening: God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to reflect on something. I want you to think about the power of the vine that you have been grafted into. Take a moment. Ponder the nature of Christ that flows through your veins, producing through you the fruit of his love. Remember that God's love will not leave you unchanged. Like the saying says, he loves you too much to leave you that way. How will you now live? How will you live that out each day? How will you show that love to one another here, in your homes, in your places of work, in the schoolroom, with co-workers? Remember, it's the fruit of Christ that you exhibit in your life. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that has come to us from outside of ourselves and now flows through our veins and so makes us new and gives to us the vine in which we remain. Will we fail to keep His commands perfectly, to remain in His words? Yes. But there's a cure for that failure. And it is the same cure that never fails. It's His righteousness. His righteousness that comes upon us by faith through our baptism, through the sacrament of the altar, and through the hearing of His word. In these things, like we talked about in our opening, He delivers to us the forgiveness for our failures into our very bodies. And it's in that forgiveness that we love and remain forever. Do we need to obey? Certainly. Again, will we fail? Of course. Will God forgive? Always. Always. We can never fail beyond His ability to forgive us. That's what the cross and the resurrection proves to us. We live and remain in His word of love and forgiveness. As we go today, be mindful, as we started out, that God loves you the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.